We've been talking about the administration of the fullness of time. Let's look at Ephesians 1, verse 9 through 11. I'm just going to read these. Just going to read these verses and point out exactly what we've been looking at. The dispensation of the fullness of time, which is, we have said, which is the dispensation of the Spirit of God, which is the dispensation of Christ. The dispensation of Christ in you. The word dispensation here should be, and is in the Scripture, should be in all translations, administration. Administration. It has nothing to do, has nothing to do with periods of time, except I think the word dispensation may have been used by the King James translators because the verse here says that there is a portion of time, a time that is coming to its fulfillment. And that may be why dispensation is used here, but the Greek word is translated administration, and it means the management of a household. I'm looking at the definition right here in front of me. I print all this stuff out. The management of a household or of household affairs. It means the management or the oversight or the administration. The office of a manager or overseer. That's the definition of the term. It is not defined as dispensation at all, but it's used here. And I wondered why would the interpreters use dispensation? Now, you know, the Greek word clearly is management of a household, household affairs, the administrator of. But it's not even in the Greek, see, it's not even, and that's what's unusual. It's not like an administrator of a government or administrator of a corporation or the example given, the term used is the manager of a household. Now, isn't that something? The management of the house of God. The management of the family of God. The management. The overseer of God's house. Huh. Amen. See? It is the administration of the Spirit. Over and against the administration of the law. It is the administration of Christ over and against the administration of Moses. It is the administration of the living Word over and against the administration of the letter of the law. One having testified of the other coming in spirit, in truth, in dwelling, new creation, new tabernacle, temple, new house. See? Amen. One not built by man. No, no. One created of God. One created of God, see? In which man is involved through new birth, through baptism. So it becomes not the house that we go to or are on our way to, but the house that we are, the house of which we are learning, the house in whom, Christ, we are living, the house whose administrator is Christ Himself, the anointed of God. The Son of God. He is the Son over His own house. The Bible says that. Just as Moses was the servant over his house, so Christ is the son over his house, whose house you are. Paul says, I just quoted it. That's right out of Paul's statement, or statement, I guess, of the, is that maybe the statement of the Hebrew writer, but whose house you are. Okay? Well, that's what we're talking about then, is this administration of the fullness of time, which is the administration of the Spirit. Now, according to the purpose and plan of God, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He's purposed in Himself. So according to that which God purposed in Himself, determined in Himself to have and to do in Christ, verse 4 up there, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. According to that He has purposed in Himself to do before the foundation of the world in Christ, which is going to involve us, chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. Well, what is it all about? Well, He purposed that it would come about through the administration of the fullness of times, not through the administration of parts and pieces of times. Notice your word there in your Bible. It doesn't say through the fullness of T-I-M-E, but it says the fullness of times, T-I-M-E-S, times. Why does it say that? Because Israel, under the law, under the old covenant, was under administration of times. What times? How did they live by times? The times of the sacrifice, the daily time, the evening time, the time of the Passover feast, the time of the Pentecost feast, the time of the ingathering feast, the times of the new moon, the times of, on and on and on. All of these types and shadows. Then, at sundry times and in different ways, God spake. It was all little parts and pieces. See? The Sabbath day, part of the times. Every seventh day, wham, it'd come around. Seven more days, wham, it'd come around. Every 7 years, wham, Sabbath year would come around. Every 50 years, wham, Jubilee would come around. Times. All of them were speaking of one time that would come to fullness and never change, would be eternal, a day without need of sun or moon or even stars, as far as that day was concerned, the light of it is Christ Himself. Well, darling, this is what Paul is talking about. Fullness of the times. Fullness of the times. He determined before time. He determined before time. Before He created the world, before He set the sun in orbit, or the planets in orbit, before all of that, He determined that He would, in Christ, bring all of these signs, all of these wonders, all of these times and what they meant, the testimony of them, all of that, would bring them to a fullness, a completion. A completement is the word here used for fullness. A completement. And that He would do that in His Son. They were all given for testimonies. They were all given for signs, for testimonies. All of them were. The Bible tells us that. These days, these holy days, these feasts, all of that stuff spoke of a reality that could not be had in the feast itself. But the lamb that they chose, these little lambs that they chose, my God, hundreds and thousands of them, maybe millions over a course of thousands of years, but anyway, those little lambs, in and of themselves were just a lamb, just an animal. But they were a testimony of one to come, and that's the only reason God honored anything. If it hadn't have been a testimony of one to come, darling, it wouldn't have been any different than heathen offering sacrifices or animals or killing one another. Wouldn't have been any different. Except these were ordered of God with purpose, a divine purpose, according to a purpose. They were a type and a shadow of the Lamb of God which was sure to come. Just like the tabernacle was a type and a shadow of the house of God which was to come. And just like the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud was a type and shadow of the very glory and person of the Son of God which was to come and live in His house. Now, if it wasn't that, then what good is it? Any good at all. But in purpose. So He brings it to the fullness. So God determined that this won't be forever. This won't be forever. And I think that man, in his sin and in his disobedience, even prolonged the time. I believe that because with God, essentially, in His being, there is no time. So, you know, darling, 10,000 years is like 10 seconds. I mean, you understand what I'm trying to tell you. But He dealt with man in time. And man in his disobedience can lengthen that time. You understand? The Lord deals with you to do something, and you don't do it. In your disobedience, you can lengthen the time. You understand? You can lengthen the time. I don't know how long the Lord will allow that and all of that, but you can do that. Wherein obedience brings the now time of God, the time that God lives in, it brings it, you understand? It brings it, it's there, right there. The Lord deal with it, you obey, rather than dragging it out for the next year. And causing problems that should never have been caused, and then getting mad at God because He doesn't solve them, and they shouldn't have been caused. But you're dragging it out. So I don't know that that wasn't the deal, but I do know that there come a time that He said, here's the end of it, I'm sending My Son. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent His Son. He gathered up times in the fullness of time. Those are two different words there. In the fullness of the time. That's Galatians 4:4. Here, fullness of the times, but it's here it relates to an administration. There it relates to His Son coming and bringing an end to all of that and ushering in a new time of which He Himself is the measurement, a new day of which He Himself is the light and the substance, a new creation of which He is the life and the substance and the endless boundaries. See, everything different. We come to Christ. Well, all right, so this is it. This is the administration. I just want you and I to understand, this is the administration to which we have come. We have not come to an administration of parts. We've come to administration of the fullness of times, that He's gathered up all times, everything that they were about. He has brought them to their completement in Christ. In Christ. You're not having to repeat this every year, every year, every year, every year, every year, every year, every year. Every year. I used to get... It used to all bother me to some degree as I was raised up in straight-line Pentecostalism. Why we had to go to the altar and pray through every time we had a church service. But we did. And when I saw the Lord, I kind of thought, I mean, when I really saw the Lord, and the Lord was revealed in me, and I thought that was kind of like just having these feasts of Israel again and again and again and again and again and again and bringing our daily sacrifice again and again and again and again and again. People hear me say that even now, Pentecostal people who have even come to see the Lord, and they get really upset with me. They say, you shouldn't say things like that. There's nothing wrong with us praying every day. And my answer to that is, sweet darling angel, I didn't say anything about you praying every day. Pray all the time. Pray every minute of your life. Stay up all night long and pray. I'm not talking about prayer as a communication to God in Christ. I'm not talking about a soul communicating with the Father in the understanding of the Son. I'm talking to you going down to the front of a building like a sinner every day, day after day, service after service, and doing your works all over again. That's what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm talking to. I get aggravated at people who don't listen to what I say and then get all upset about it. He don't believe in praying. Well, sweet angel, I pray all the time. I'll probably pray all the way from here to Boone tonight, just allowing the Lord to deal with me and give me some kind of an understanding of what I should say when I stand up there tonight. But no, I don't go down and repent of sin every day and ask the Lord to save my soul over and over and over and over and over again. He is my salvation. And His blood cleanses, and He does, and there is forgiveness of sins. And when I feel that I have breached the Spirit of the Lord, I'm on my face saying, Father, forgive me. But, hon, you know what I'm talking about. It's like a big ceremony. And you just do it again and again and again. And that's called Christian growth, and it isn't Christian growth. Now, that's called spirituality, and it's not spirituality either. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't find any there. This is an administration of completion. This is not an administration of continually doing the same thing again and again. This is an administration of walking in the light as He is in the light. This is an administration of learning Christ. This is the administration whereby the indwelling Son of God is truly revealed to the heart that turns to see Him. That's what this administration is about. It's about gathering all things up, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ. The term, gathering together there. The term, gathering together. I've got it right here. I'm not making these things up. In the first place, the word fullness. The fullness means, as I've already said, so I won't stay on that. The word fullness means completion. Completion, that which fills and that which is filled. We talked about that yesterday, so I won't deal with that a whole lot this morning. But the word fullness has two parts to it. That which fills and that which is filled. It's the definition of that word as it is in the original text. Fullness requires both what fills and what is filled. And the fullness and the thing that is filled become one by virtue of the fullness. By virtue of the fullness. So what does Paul say about that? What does Paul say about that? I believe it's in this very epistle, is it not? In this very epistle, right? Come on down to the last verse of this very chapter. What does it say about that? Let's look at it. Which is His body. That has to be the vessel. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. That's the Greek definition. That which fills and that which is filled. It's His body. He brings all of that fullness together in His body. His body, those that are gathered up in Him. What is the body of Christ except believers gathered together in Him? What else is it? It's defined that way, darling. Let me see. Yes, here it is. Ephesians 2. Now therefore, verse 19, now therefore, you're no more strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints of what? Fellow citizens and saints of what? The household. The household. The administrator of the household, of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation. Not the foundation which is apostles and prophets, but the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which is Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom, in Him, all the building fitly framed together, that is, gathered together. It's the same Greek word. You can look it up. Groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Groweth. This is a building that grows. Groweth to a holy temple in the Lord. What is the measure of its growth? What's the measure of its growth? Well, the measure of its growth is over here in the fourth chapter. Just hold on to right there. We're over here in the fourth chapter. Here's the measure of its growth. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, translated, full and complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we grow up into the completement that's in Him. Till Christ be formed in you. Till the building, inwardly the building, take on His image, His nature, His character, His conformed unto His Son. Those whom He hath foreknown, He has predestined. What? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, the Son, might be firstborn among many brethren. Darling, it's about growing up in Christ. The size of the building, the size of the church, is not how many people are sitting in a room. It's how much of Christ is formed in them. Now, that's the size of the thing. It's not how many empty vessels you can collect. The measure is in you. In whom all the building fitly framed groweth to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Well, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about here with this fullness. And then gather together. Now, where was that? Oh, yes, here it is. Gather together. I was going to talk about that verse with you. I'm not going to talk about all these words, but okay. That He might gather together. By the way, since we've got into this, and I really haven't dealt with these verses this week, have I? I mean, I hadn't done this. I didn't think so. Okay, times. Let me just show you something here that I'm not just, you know, sucking this out of the end of my thumb. Times. The word times here. Is the translated from a Greek word that means, now this is really too much, that means a set, determined, proper time. I looked at that and I thought, nah, but that's true. An occasion. In other words, a set or predetermined proper time. Not just sometime, not just any time. That's not what it's talking about. So, fullness of the times, what did I tell you they were? What did I mention that they were? The times of the feasts, Those feasts were appointed of God. The time, the place, predetermined, ordained divinely. They had purpose to them. And our whole lessons are all in the field of purpose, the administration of purpose, divine purpose. They had purpose to them. What was the fullness of that time? What was the fullness of those times? I told you already. He appeared. He appeared. That was it. He appeared. The word used in this text right here is not just times, any times. No, this Greek word refers to a set time, a proper time. It's exactly as we said, bringing those times, times of recognition, times of importance, times that meant something, said something, were ordained of God for a reason, day, night. They were ordained of God for a reason. There was a reason why Israel's day began with night and ended with day, daylight. Began under the moon and ended under the sun. There's a reason for that. It all came to a fulfillment in Christ. The times. So the correct definition here is a set or proper time. That's what was gathered up. That's what was gathered up. Now, gathered together. Gathered together is a Greek word, and it means it means a summing up in the sense of a summation. That He would bring all things to their summation. He would sum them up. But it has in the sense, the biblical dictionary says, in a sense, it's in the sense of a summation. Well, now, what's a summation? A summation, let's just cut to the chase really quick so we don't waste a lot of time. A summation is best known by a lawyer or any speaker, a teacher, a preacher, a lawyer, or whoever. He brings everything that he has said into a brief but very pointed summary statement in order that the jury can understand, comprehend his point. And in that way, gathered together, this word, in its original sense, to sum up, but metaphorically bring forth a summation. However, it means comprehend. To bring all things to be comprehended in one. Amen. Now, what all things? All things in Christ. Isn't that what the Scripture says? That He might... Let's just read it as it is. That He might, where it says gather together, that He might bring to definition, that He might bring to comprehension in one all things in Christ. All things were? All things in Christ. You mean this is not talking about trees and rocks and flowers and dirt? No. It's talking about what's in Christ.
That we might see as He has seen from the beginning.
In one, all things in Christ. So it's only referring to what is in Christ. What He has purposed in Christ. What He has chosen in Christ. What He has placed in Christ. But what is in Christ? What dwelleth in Christ? First and foremost, what dwelleth in Christ that this administration brings us to comprehend? First and foremost, what dwelleth in Christ? It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Fullness of times, fullness of time. fullness of righteousness, fullness of holiness, fullness of, you could go on forever, hon. All fullness. All fullness. Fullness of prophecy, fullness of promise, fullness of word. All fullness. All fullness. And not only that, not only that, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in Christ. This is some administration, friend. This is some administration that we are part of. Administration of fullness, that He might bring all things in Christ to be comprehended in one. This is what this says. That He might bring all things in Christ to be comprehended in one. In other words, that He may show Christ to be the fullness of all things. Father, show me Your righteousness, He reveals the Son. Father, show me Your holiness, He reveals the Son. Father, show me my salvation, and He reveals the Son. The wisdom of it, the knowledge of it. On and on we can say, Father, show me. Oh, God, reveal Your Son in me. It's an endless thing, sweetheart. We walk in Him, knowing Him, growing up in Him. God bringing the understanding of all things relating to our salvation forth in the knowledge of Christ in revealing the Son. My. Well, that's what this says. I'm not making it up. But there is an administration given of God to bring all things to their comprehension. You and I could use the word definition, but to their comprehension in one. All things in Christ. The word all things, the word all means, right here, I'm reading it, means the whole. The whole. Well, that's simple, but it's what it means. The whole. The whole. The fullness, the completement, the completeness, the whole. All things in Christ. It's just tremendous. I knew I had something else written. And here it is. Then it uses these two terms that really seem to confuse a lot of folks. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. Well, now, just from an immediate look at that, you know that it cannot be talking about the planet earth and the sky with reference to heaven and earth. No, not that. Not that. What we're saying here is, what is being said, let me see if I can, I've got some notes here. Bringing heaven and earth together in comprehension, that is, in one, bringing forth a new comprehension of heaven and earth, a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth, which Isaiah saw, has now come in Christ Jesus. He brings to comprehension all things in Christ, in Him, a new heaven, in Him, a new earth, in Him, a new creation. Because it is very clear the verse is speaking out from that which God planned before the creation of the world and has now fulfilled in Christ through the administration of the Spirit. And He brings forth the comprehension. Things in heaven on earth. New as to the nature and character. The word new means that. A new heaven and a new earth. Well, you find it written in your Bible. I'm very careful now in these meetings and for our folks that are visiting with us today. If I ever give an opinion, and I'm just this away because, you know, because this stuff is recorded and it's no fault of mine or even no effort. It goes everywhere. And so if I might give an opinion, I say, now, this is my opinion. And if I don't, then what I'm telling you is what you can go find in any Bible dictionary or any study of the language. So what I'm saying here is that new, a new heaven, a new earth, the word new means as to its nature and character. It does not mean as to its age. And when I read that definition years and years ago, I thought, well, what's that got to do with it, that it's not as to its age? And it just hit me. Oh, that's because the new heaven and the new earth is not measured by age. It's not measured by years. It is eternal in Christ Jesus. But it is known by its nature. The nature of it is spirit, over and against the old heaven and old earth, the nature of which is the flesh. The nature of the old man is fleshly. The nature of the new man is spiritual. The nature of the whole natural creation is flesh, man-centered. The nature of the whole spiritual creation is spirit, new as to its nature. New man, new Jerusalem, newness of life as to its nature and character. It's spiritual. Not corruptible, not mortal, incorruptible, immortal. It is spiritual. Blessed be the Lamb of God. So it is everything as to our union with Christ and to the newness of the temple of God, the city of God, the creation of God, to the newness that this administration is all about. God determined that with the coming of His Son, He would gather up the whole testimony and make it complete and cause it to be comprehended in the very person and face of Jesus Christ. In other words, he would cause salvation to be understood as being the indwelling Christ Himself. Not a type, not a shadow, but Him dwelling. And He would bring all the things of that salvation to their understanding in the Lord Jesus. So, Paul says, it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him. And then Paul saying to the church that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know, that you may grow up into Him who is the head. And on and on and on those letters go. But that's the administration to which we have come. And let me see. Okay, I'm holding that printout in my hand while I'm I'll do that. Holding something in my hand, looking for it down here. The last verse I'm after. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. I talked about this yesterday. Remember? Talked about that state of being. Our being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. All things according to His purpose. Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Again, we're faced with the term all things, and again, it's the same word here as it is up here in this verse. It hasn't changed yet. It's the whole of that which is in Christ. So many believers wrestle with this. All things, because immediately, rather than their mind going to where the Spirit would take it, in Christ, the all things of Christ, the fullness of God in Christ, the pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell. You know, their mind doesn't go there. Their mind goes to the things of the world, the things of nature, the things of man. And they're wondering how all things, how all this could be good, and how God could make all of this good, and how God could work all of this to be good. And then they see tragedies, and they get mad and say, there isn't any God there is. How does this come out to be good? Well, it doesn't, and there's no place that says it does. It doesn't. Man killing man. Man murdering man. Sin running rampant. Come on, honey. You think God originated that? I mean, you want to see the only good thing about that? Look to the cross. That's where Christ brought it to an end in Himself. That you and I could come to an end of it in Himself. My Lord. All things in Him. Those are the things that are governed of God, and those are the things wherein we should be governed. And then in this present world, we live as a reality of that and as a testimony of that to others who may want to come and find that reality in Him. But my Lord, honey, we ought to give them a better gospel. We ought to give them a truer gospel than just to say, well, if you come and repent, Jesus will forgive your sins, and one day you'll get to go to a better place. Until then, just suck up and take it. I know. But that's, you know, that's you know, come on, man. Come and join our religion. Come and be like we are. And all of that kind of stuff. And I love Christian people, but darling, I don't have a lot of love for the religious system because it doesn't work. It just deceives people. And they're trying to find, it's like trying to find the goal at the end of a rainbow. You know. The reality of all that is in Christ. We can come to that reality, live in that reality, walk in that reality, and even share that reality with others who want reality of salvation. Because it's real. There's nothing more real. Everything else is passing away. Tick, 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 tick. That reality is what has come to the fullness of times. But the natural still just gets old. So, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated is a word that's been so misused, misinterpreted, and misdefined that I hate to even say it. So, you know, I just say being purposed of God, being planned of God, being known of God in Christ, according to the purpose of Him. Who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. All things. But it's the all things in Christ. It's the things that God considers as being real and eternal. Those are the all things. Those are the all things. Blessed be the Lamb of God. That in the administration of the fullness of times, He might gather together. And it is in the revealing of Christ that the body is truly gathered together. We're gathered together in the knowledge of Him. We're gathered together if we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. There isn't any other way. John goes out of his way to say, now wait a minute. You're walking in the darkness and saying you're having fellowship. Sweetheart, you lie and you do not the truth. I mean, that's kind of hard words, but John really wasn't a hard man. I mean, Paul could get a little stern. John, you know, he was more lovey-dovey. But he got a little stern in this letter when he was telling them, you don't walk in darkness and claim fellowship. That's not the way it works. And the reason he said that was because he was declaring that God Himself is light and in Him there is no darkness. So don't think that you can bring reproach upon God. If you walk in darkness, it's not in God that you are walking. It is in the ignorance and bondage and darkness of your own mind. And Paul says the same thing. He says, if our gospel be hid, then it's hid to those in whom the god of this world has blinded their minds. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we allow the manager of the household to lead and guide and direct, if we allow the Spirit of God, the indwelling Christ, and the revealing of the Son. See? We have fellowship. What fellowship do we have to share with one another except our fellowship with Him? And if we're not having fellowship with Him, then what is it we have to share with one another? Well, we can share religion. We can share organization. We can share churchianity. We can share... Here we go. Yeah, but all of those things have not come to fullness in Christ. All of those things are still controlled by the natural. They grow old. They get tired. They shut down. They pack up and leave town. I mean, on and on and on. But the fellowship we have first with the Father, and that's what John says. I'm quoting from that whole first chapter of John. That's what John says. He says, come. Come and have fellowship with us. Why would we want to do that? Well, because our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Come and have fellowship with us that your joy may be full. He's not saying, come and join our organization. That's a difference. Come and have fellowship with us. God is faithful who has called us unto the fellowship of His Son. See? That doesn't mean that you can't have some organizing. If you don't organize something, you don't want to ever get more than two people in a room at the same time, because if you do, you're going to have to organize. You understand what I'm talking about? But we're not called to that. That's not what's... Those things come and go. Or they change, or they should change and should develop. The fellowship. Walking in the light as He is in the light, having fellowship one with another. All right. So, we have this word here, and I spent a lot longer than I thought I would. We have this word here, purpose. And it's used twice. Verse 9, which He hath purposed in Himself. And verse 11, according to the purpose of Him. It's the same thing. Same thing. The good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things. So, here's what I wanted to say to you this morning. And I wasn't going to take long to do it. I looked at this last night and considered this just before I went to bed. Purpose. It's just right here in these notes. Purpose is what? Eternal purpose. The purpose that God purposed in Himself. The purpose according to which you and I are in Jesus Christ. The purpose according to which and for which Christ dwelleth in us. the purpose according to which God worketh all things in Christ, to bring all things to a definition in Christ, and to bring you and I, who are in Christ, into a full stature relationship with Christ. According to the purpose. God having a purpose. The purpose being fulfilled in the person of Christ. But that purpose must now be the fullness of the body of Christ. That His body function according to His purpose. All right? That's what it's about. So, hon, purpose is what salvation is all about. Purpose. Having purpose. It's not about our belief systems. Now, please listen to me carefully. It's not about our belief systems. Salvation is not that. It's not about our doctrinal issues. Salvation is not all, it's not about that. See, on salvation would be real whether I had any doctrinal issues or not, because salvation is the indwelling Son of God. And my doctrinal issues doesn't make that real, usually takes away from that. I'll explain in a moment. It's not about getting, and I wrote this, you can tell it's my notes, getting all of our ducks in a row. Getting everything lined up. Have we got all of the fivefold ministry in the house tonight? Raise your hand. I've been in places where it's almost that bad. We're having an apostles' conference. Can't get in the back door unless you show proof you're an apostle. How would you do that? I don't know. I guess they had the chief discerner standing there. And you say you're making fun. Yeah, well, I am making fun because it, to me it's funny. It would be funny if it weren't so sad. For man to put his hand upon a genuine function of Christ, bring it to himself, make it cheap, make it disgusting, make it devilish, make it self-serving, and make it false. Yeah? That is funny in a sick way. And boys, you don't have to edit any of this off of this tape. Getting our ducks in a row. Salvation is not about, you listen to me, listen carefully now. It's not about what I believe in and of itself. Such as, someone would ask, brother, do you believe in this thing or that thing? Salvation is not about what I believe in and of itself. Do you believe that there are angels in heaven surrounding the throne of God? Salvation is not about that. Salvation is not about that. Salvation is not about, you understand, what I believe in. We try to make it a belief system. You go to a church, you go to a denomination, and they give you a card, and it's got 16 fundamental things that they believe in, and you have to believe in those things before you can be accepted there. It doesn't mean you have to comprehend those things in Christ. You just got to believe in them. It's a belief system. That's what I'm talking to you about. It's a belief system. I don't know whether any of you watch, you know, you may not be like I am. I don't know whether you watch blue-collar comedy or not. But you get Jeff Foxworthy and the boys on stage, and they have this little deal at the end of their comedy routine Larry, the cable guy, starts them off with his "I believe." It's a comedy routine. And I saw it and I thought, oh God, that's as ridiculous as most belief systems in most church organizations. I believe. I believe. Do you understand what you believe? Yeah, but brother, I believe it. I believe it. I'm convinced of it. I've read two or three scriptures where that word is there. But has the administration given of God really brought that to an understanding in the face of His Son? Well, I don't know anything about that. I just know I believe. And that's what salvation is? Yes, that's what it is. Well, hon, the Muslims be the same thing about Islam. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. They'll be the same thing. What has that to do with salvation? Nothing. I believe, I believe, I believe. That's what I mean when I say our belief system. I don't mean that you shouldn't believe something. Come to a belief that is a true, God-given, Spirit-revealed, in the face of Jesus Christ, comprehension. Something that is seen in the Lord. Talk about our belief system. Salvation's not about that, honey. One group wants to know, do you believe in the rapture? Another group, do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Another, do you believe in divine predestination? Another group wants to know, are you Calvinistic in your theology or Arminianism in your theology? I mean, that's the truth. You get questionnaires from some organizations on those things. And you have an orientation classes you have to take. And it's not taken on your face seeking the Lord or seeking God to reveal His Son. No, that's not the kind of seminar you go to. That's not the kind of orientation you go to. It's a belief system. And you have to agree with. And it'll have some verses from somewhere in the Bible that has that word in it or something that resembles that word. Hon, salvation's not about that. It is not about that. And it is not about you and I coming to agree on any of those issues in and of themselves. Another, do you believe in sonship? Another, do you believe in baptism? Well, yes, well, what kind of baptism? What mode? What name was said? What words were said over you? Were you sprinkled? Were you splashed? Were you dunked? Was it in running water? It just gets ridiculous. Well, I've said enough. Salvation is not about what I believe concerning things in and of themselves. Therefore, I can believe something about each of these things and still not be a true partaker of the salvation that Christ is. I can settle for a belief system and miss the living salvation given of God. Salvation, as defined in God's eternal plan and purpose, salvation as defined in the finished work of Christ, is not about what I believe, it is about purpose. It's about purpose. It's about the Father's eternal purpose. Let me tell you something, honey. And I know I'm going to run out of time doing that. Salvation as a true work of the Spirit. Salvation as a union of our soul and the Spirit of Christ was planned of God with a divine and holy purpose in mind. A purpose which He purposed in His own self. A purpose which only He can reveal by His Spirit. And we have come to that union with God through Christ through an act of the Spirit that is called salvation. New birth, baptism, redemption, salvation. A full salvation, a salvation to which Christ is the fullness. Over and above and beyond what most believers understand Him to be. But a salvation to which He is the fullness. We are partakers of that salvation simply because God had a purpose. A purpose before we ever existed, a purpose before the world ever existed. And He has brought all of this together, fulfilled in His Son to achieve that divine purpose. Yes. Now, we've been talking about that purpose here in these sessions. All I wanted to do this morning was review and just say that if that is so, and it is so according to the Scripture, then salvation is not about what I believe in and of itself as a belief system. It's about what God reveals in His Son and forms in my soul as a living Word, a living understanding, a living reality. It is about purpose. It's about God having in His Son, in us, what He desires to have. It's about His will being fulfilled in our souls through the revealing of His Son, our salvation. It's about purpose, huh? It doesn't mean that in learning Christ we won't come to believe this or believe that. But God help us if we ever try to make a system out of that and try to teach that rather than coming to know Christ. Lord, help us if we ever do that. Because if we do, we've lost purpose. Because I want to tell you something, darling. The purpose is not that I just come to know Christ. The purpose is that through knowing Christ, you and I are transformed into His image. This is the pleasure of the Father. Salvation is about purpose. So, what I believe about something is based upon my concept of that very thing. It is, based on my concept. I conceive it to be something. And my concepts, even my correct concepts, even those which are based upon a revealing of the Son, even my correct concepts are changed, altered, corrected every time I come face to face with the living truth in the face of the revealed Son. In other words, every time God reveals His Son in me, my concepts concerning Him, concerning life, concerning righteousness, are altered or changed in the face of the truth. Why? Because the truth is living. The truth is always ever and ongoing. The truth isn't changing. It's just always abounding. And I'm never able to bear all of the fullness of the truth at any one time. That is something into which we grow and grow up. Because the truth is not just, it is not like academic knowledge. The truth has nature to it, has character to it. It truly transforms our soul. And we bear that. And so the Lord deals with us as His own, not giving us more to bear at any time than we are able, but yet always walking, never stopping, never turning, going back. Don't do that. Not what I'm talking about now. But it's just that process of walking in the light as He is in the light. But you see, that means then that my concepts that I form based upon what I see in Christ, it's impossible but that I form a concept. I conceive it to be. And while those concepts may be becoming more correct or more perfect or more, you understand? Paul says, I'm not telling you that I know Him in that perfect way. I'm not telling you that I have apprehended that for which I am apprehended of God. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that I am forgetting always that which is behind, and I am pressing always toward that which is before me, even the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm telling you. And that's what I'm telling you. And in doing so, my concepts change. My concepts change. And it's not a wishy-washy thing that I'm talking about. It's not a, here one minute and gone the next. No, I'm not talking about that. It's not an instability. And it's not changing my mind every day. What it actually is the renewing of my mind continually. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So your concepts will change, or they'll be altered, or they'll be corrected. That is true, sweetheart. That is true. So, salvation without sin, life in Christ, the work of the cross, all the terminology we use, it's all about purpose. That purpose being now fulfilled in the Son and worked in us through the revealing of that Son. His body is to be the full expression of Himself. And that's where the Spirit is working. That's where the Spirit is working. And He is working there according to what God has purposed. The Lord is not making this up as He goes along. I guess that's what I'm trying to say this morning. He had purposed this from before the foundation of the world. And that which He has purposed, Jesus says, I am the beginning and the ending. And therefore, it's found in Him. So, bless the Lord. That's it this morning. And, boy, it's been wonderful to be here. Seemed like it was a long time.